sellers. It's supposedly a cool region here, but today it's pushing 100. It's quite glorious and beautiful. But I'm going to chat with Mila about her career and how she came to be one of the pioneers here in the Anderson Valley. And we're going to talk about what makes Anderson Valley wines special. And then a little bit about her own winery, which she is not only the owner, but the winemaker, quite unusual in California for a woman, and that's Anthony Sellers. Well, thanks for sitting down with me.
Okay, well, it is warm, and we do have hot spells here, although we're not used to them, and most people don't have air conditioning, so we. But it is a warm spell, and I think. And at the springtime, we're quite appreciative of this warmth because we're behind. It was an unusual year. Every year is an unusual year. I guess that's the norm. But it was sort of a moderate spring. But I think all the grapes are a little behind because the year before we had a lot of frost, and so everyone proved late to delay it. But this is a definitely cool climate. And it just, we have some days where it doesn't feel like it. Today is definitely one of them. The valley just is, it's coastally influenced, but it's also very narrow. So when you get a little bit warmer days, even in a regular summer pattern, in the middle of the day, then you might expect to be only around 10 miles as a bird flies to the coast. But because of the narrowness, you get the compression of the air. But in the afternoon, we get a lot of cool breezes. So when you're looking at temperatures for a wine, you're really looking at the temperature inside the canopy. And you can use a pressure bottle to do that. But if you go out in the afternoons, just before the breeze picks up, you might feel inside the canopy is very much maybe similar to outside, which is a little bit cooler. But it's only for a few hours that that happens. And then all of a sudden, the breeze picks up and the... will pull it out, and it's really important that some of these delicate varietals, and Pinot Noir is one of them, that the fruit itself doesn't get hot for a long period of time, because you lose the subtlety, and Pinot Noir should be a subtle grape, and it should have nuances, and so you retain some of those complex aromatics in the wine, and in the texture, and in the mouthfeel. You get enough warmth to get them fully ripe, and that's kind of our goal. And that's kind of every region's goal. But I think we are defined by our climate that we cannot grow certain things. We can't grow things that ripe grapes that need a lot of warmth. So there's no Cab Cabernet on the buy for. Years ago, there was some in Boonville that was a failure, and since then, I think there might be one or two rows left for fun, but it's pretty much none. Can't grow Zinfandel on the belly floor. There is some Syrah to grow in some of the warmer regions. But the things that do really well here are Pinot Noir, the Alsace varietals. And if you want a cold climate Chardonnay, it does fine. And then the other one is sparkling wine. And sparkling wine excels here because of the fact that it's cold. And the smells are not too rich for everything.
So tell me a story about how you came to settle here.
Well, I came to settle here. I guess that I can blame my first daughter who turned 31 yesterday. That when I was pregnant with her and I was working in Sonoma County, it didn't seem like where I worked, I would be able to combine work and a baby. And my husband, so we started looking for jobs for him. That were a little bit more in line with what he wanted to do. And he found a job at Navarro Vineyards. options here. But so I think you have more red for here, and I think you have a structure that has maybe a little bit more time is needed for most of the wines to come around. They're long aging. But I think the major thing that happens here is our pHs tend to be a little lower. So there is a brightness, there's an ageability of the wines, but there's an elegance in structure. And although we are only an hour and a half drive from Russian River, our flavor profiles are almost 50-50, somewhere between Oregon and Russian River. And Oregon's way further apart. But I think some of our flavor profiles are similar to Oregon than you would think, being how far away we are from them. And maybe it's the vineyards I get are relatively mature. But I think it is the valley itself. And when we look at picking times, we're fairly similar to Oregon a lot of times. So there's an elegance, but there's a structure to it and a weight.
And what about the lineup of Pinot Noirs you produce here at Panama?
Well, almost every year we produce a Mendocino Pinot, which is our entry level Pinot, and our Anderson Valley. And in special years, and they come every once in a while here and there, we produce a estate reserve. Our last one is a 2004 estate reserve. We have produced one single vineyard Appalachian wine from my own vineyard at home, which is a hillside vineyard, has a very different structure of fruit. And in 2006, our 2006 Holmes Ridge blend is a new sort of mid-priced, high-end Pinot Noir. And it's from the vineyards, our estate vineyard and the vineyards surrounding our vineyard group. The winery is actually on an old homestead that now turned into a subdivision. And so Holmes Ranch is the subdivision. So we get roots from our local neighbors, contiguous vineyards. And it's the colder end of the valley. And the Zenith of Earth tends to mature very slowly. So we're just actually releasing it today. So it's kind of today is the 17th of May. And it's 2006, and we didn't think it was ready to release until now. So those are the plans we make. Every year, we try to make something that our Anderson Valley is the very best wine we can make. We make sure that anything that we do on the higher end of that doesn't take away from the Anderson Valley blend. And so when we put our blends together, and we think that there's a vintage, that there's something special, we will taste blind, not what we think is special, and we have to blend with it then and with it out. And if it makes the Anderson Valley blend get worse or not as complex, we won't make that special blend. And we want to make sure that the wine we make every year is really great quality every year at a reasonable price.
And you mentioned the cooling. Can you explain to your listeners about what you mean by the cooling of the valley?
It's called the cooling, and there's actually a language here called cooling. And it's also called the deep. But we're the closer to the coast, as we have the most coastal influence, and where the winery and our estate is here, it is the first place where the valley's been very, very narrow coming through. It's a really river valley, then the Navarro River. So we're the first river that kind of opens up after the closeness of the forest. We are right where the river forest kind of ended, and you got into or so, it can learn a little more extreme than people expect in coastal California.
What about your winemaking protocol?
Well, our winemaking, we have several planned ahead of time, but I myself and Kristen is my co-winemaker. We do all the field samples, so we have a pretty good clue what's going to come in to the grapes, to the winery, and we're tasting for tannin, we're tasting for acid, and we'll pick on the combination of flavors and numbers, and some of that's maybe insecurity that the flavors are there and the numbers aren't quite there, or the numbers are there and the flavors aren't there. We look at both of them, but we know pretty early that we may have to adjust because if the tannins are heavy one year, we will use a different yeast, we will do adjustments here and there. But our basic idea is we pick into small bins. If I know there's a problem in a vineyard, I'm there at 7:15. They usually start picking at 7. If you're there before they start picking, they'll pick really carefully when you get there, and then when you go away, it won't be too good. So we pick at the small bins. Most of the grapes here don't have to travel very far. And so I expect them to come in clean, and it's rarely a surprise. And we don't have a serving table here because I have a feeling that even if it's a short distance, that you have all these grapes, if you have a problem with mold, they're saying you have to clean grapes, and then come here, you've lost your sorting opportunity, so I really ask my growers to be careful. And that's why I'm there, and I need to bring in clean grapes. That's a huge percentage of it. And for Pinot Noir, we will do indigenous fermentations every month, but we tend to do very few whole cluster permitting here because I would want to do it in our state fruit, and we have a lot of rotating fruit and we don't have the best quality stems, but certain years we will do it in one of our blocks as a different clone that we like, but we don't do that every year. We try to be very gentle, so when we de-stem, we do as little crushing as possible, and we have the small fermenters and we keep lots separate. So we try most years to keep everything separate until either just before bottling we put our blends together, or if there are a couple of lots we want to sort of marry and have it come earlier. But we tend to blend late, which means we need to have more time marrying in the bottle. So most of our people have about a year, at least a year, bottle age before we think about releasing them. Because since we didn't do it early, we wanted to have them before we go out because they'll be a little destroyed. And peanuts can be kind of moody. So we really try to treat each one as an individual. And after tank fermentations, all open top tanks, and we hand punch down or manually punch down. And we adjust a little bit to the vintage if it's a real extracted vintage, we will back off on it. If we get a little air, sometimes we will do a little bit of a rack on turn, so we get a little air in it, depending on the fermentations. And we have the ability as a small winery to adjust by flavor.
What about your other varieties that you produce?
Well, I think the Valley Selvins from the Hamlet Cellars is known for its Alsace varietals. And we also make an estate chardonnay here. We have a vineyard in Dry Creek Valley that my dad owns, and we source fruit from that. We have another chardonnay and some Syrah, and a Viognier and some of our not just for tax base, but for labor, because if everything happens all at the same time, you can't take the time and effort to go see it. And in a valley as small as this, the spray that you took from Boonville down to the coolery means that your abilities to pick at a more careful time rather than at the whim of when you have pickers. So it gives you a little more spatial ability.
You have a soft spot for the sparkly wine.
I have a soft spot. When I started the winery, I sat with a piece of paper, and it was going to be 100% sparkly winery. This is rather common in the valley, but not really hadn't started yet. But I couldn't write even on a piece of paper, so we don't make it every year. And right now we are at 2003 fruit. This is our current release. Our 2006 fruit rosé will be coming out later this fall. And we're not going to make it every year, but we're going to continue making it. And it's hard to, it's an expensive process of double bottling. But this valley excels in it. And when we actually planted this end of the valley, we were told there was a really good chance that we would not be able to ripen anything until the first part of the woods. So that's untrue. But it takes sometimes a long time to ripen this little short of the year. The block that's on the windward side of the winery tends to ripen somewhere between the second week of October and the first Monday in November. And it ripens. The good thing about it, it ripens at around 21 and a half bricks. So our alcohols in our state for sure, the last few years, have been under 13. And it was long hang time. The blocks on the other side are a little more wind predicted. A little bit earlier, but we're still talking about October last year's. So, logging, and we can get maturity levels and lower sugars. And that is everyone's goal, is how do you get maturity levels where you don't, because I'm not expecting extracting wines here, but maturity levels and lower sugars. And so, our estate sharding not only is it certified organic grapes, but it's much more European structure. And I think with California flavors, the European structure, so it's not big and heavy, and it's more delicate. And so it's an alternative Chardonnay to a lot of California Chardonnays. And a lot of times people say, I don't drink California Chardonnay. And when they have ours, and there's a multitude of differences. And we use a lot of neutral oak in it. We do a lot of punching fermenting in it. So we're not, it is growth fermented, but if I've made a wine correctly, someone hopefully will say they really like it, but they can't tell me what I did. They can't tell me what kind of barrels I use, the percentage of whether it's ML or not ML. It's kind of like, if the winemaker said obvious, it was a problem solver. And I want them to say either they like the wine or they don't like the wine, but if they can tell me everything I did, did I add an SO2, did I add an SO2, did I use this oak? I failed because the winemakers overwhelmed the structure of the fruit. And particularly at this end of the valley, the structure is really delicate. So you want it to, you want to bring it out, you want it to make the structure of the wine and the texture of the wine and the flavors of the wine more important than the winemaking. So sometimes you kind of have to push it along, and sometimes you have, maybe it was very cold, and you have to sort of work on texture more. But this is kind of like the rule that the winery is. The wine stays really good, and they taste like they come from the cold climate places. This is where they come from. And they have varietal, vintage, and regional qualities to them, and still taste good without being overwhelmed. So we don't taste to it, we don't blend to a flavor profile. We do have a history, so we go back and look at wines that age well, and we like the wines that were tougher to sell, and why they were tougher to sell, and what we did wrong, and that did it. And we try to work on the vineyard first, and then work on the wine in second.
You have a beautiful tasting room here, and of course people can visit and taste. You also distribute your wines nationally.
Yes, we are distributing nationally. Not in every state, but we're in maybe 15 or 20 states. We're certainly on the coast and some. And
do tell like the consumers that, that are interested in visiting the Emerson Valley, what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I recommend coming here. Lodging is always a little bit, there is lodging, but you have to plan ahead. But in the summertime, if you want to stay on the coast, it's wonderful because it's cold on the coast and you just have to remember to work from here and you're going to the coast, or you're going to spend it there. But then it's really special that, that most of the wineries are open and friendly to people. Some of the wineries charge, but a lot of the wineries do not charge for tasting. We welcome people. You have to turn off the main road to get here. And so the people who come are either careful drivers or they're adventuresome people. And I think that we take a very attitude to treat everyone as an individual, and we our direct consumers, whether they're through the website, through our club members, which is very important to us, we have a great club membership, and teaching people that their experience is sort of old world in the sense that we've had teaching employees working there for over 10 years, so we might recognize the same faces because they tend to work on the same days every year. So we have people like that have been here for a long period of time. And we're not the only winery like that, but there are station staff that have been around for more than 10 years. And so you get, we take tourists very, very seriously. We really enjoy their company. I laughed when one of my employees said, "I'm sorry, I'm late. There's traffic." And I said, "Did you have to wait to make a left turn? Because we really don't have traffic. We have one road." And so traffic is kind of funny, but it's all relative. We are an hour's drive from a store you've ever heard of, a stoplight or a bank. So we are out there, and it's definitely set in the vineyards. That is probably the prettiest winery to I've been to in the United States, and they're all pretty. But this is very finite, very small. You know you're in a valley. You know when you're in a valley. And it's just a wonderful place for a visit.
I agree completely. When you turn off Highway 101 and you're taking 128 east, all of a sudden you seem to relax. And once you enter the valley, it seems like you're in another world. That's no more fast food stores, convenience stores, none of that. I really like that.
I agree, and that's one of the reasons I stay. I live here. I love the fact that I think the grips are great. I love living here, and I'm very close to my kids here, and my youngest back at home. One never knows what she's where she will or not. But it's a place. It's a special place. It's a great destination place. Without going very far from places like the Bay Area. And that you really escape.
And, of course, I'm here because the annual Pinot Noir Festival is this weekend. And that's an annual event here in May. And then you also have an Alsatian Wine Festival.
Yes, we do. And it was actually sitting at a Pinot Festival talking to another winemaker and saying, if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it. And this area is great for that. So the date's been a little bit changeable. It's usually the second or third weekend in February. We try to avoid the Super Bowl and Valentine's Day. So it's somewhere in there. It's in the winter time. It's all white. So, but it's absolute blast. But we allow people from, we get people from Texas to Port Reverse Raiders and Michigan. And usually there's people from Alsace wines. So it's, we've been trying to get the New Zealanders. I think the New Zealanders came last year as an added table. So we're really encouraging people because we think that these wines do really well. It's okay.
Yeah, I said, turn on 128 go east. Don't go east because you won't end up in Anderson Valley. It's kind of confusing when you're driving north on 101. The first exit you come to is 128 east. You don't want to turn it. You want to keep going and take 128 west to Anderson Valley. You want to make that clear because that can be confusing to people that are coming driving north from Sonoma. it's about a 45-minute drive to Mendocino Coast, where there's many, many wonderful places to stay, and it's a very pleasant.